Welcome to the Weekly Leadership Experience, a place for leaders to get inspired, be challenged, and grow. I am your host, Rashad Oberlander. Let's get started. Today's episode of the Weekly Leadership Experience is brought to you by my 7-day Leadership Growth Challenge. It's a free challenge that I've created, and it's delivered by email over the course of 7 days. I've created 7 compelling questions to challenge various aspects of your leadership, the way you lead, and why you lead. Go to rashadoberlander.com and scroll down until you find the 7-day leadership challenge, or look for the link in the show notes. Here's a review from Apple Podcasts Australia, user Dobermander. For 5 stars, valuable lessons for everyone. Great podcast. I have listened to every episode and just had to dig up my old Apple account so I could leave a review. I find that the stories and discussions you bring each week are very relatable and easy to listen to, and I've already gained so much by tuning in. There are some very valuable lessons being shared here, and it's not exclusive to those in leadership or seeking a leadership position. I think the content is also relevant to how we should lead ourselves. Keep up the great work. I look forward to tuning in each week. Thank you so much. What a great review. Very thoughtful and kind. Appreciate the kind words. Thank you. If you would like to leave me a review, you can go to ratethispodcast.com/weeklyleader, and you'll be able to select your favorite platform where you'd like to leave a review. I look forward to hearing from you. Let's get on with the show. Hello, leaders, and welcome to the show. I'm here today with Dr. Kizzy Dominguez, president of K-Parks Consulting. As a kid, Kizzy would clean golf balls located in an alley behind her friend's house and resell them through a fence to golfers. Kizzy used the money to buy Funyuns and Nutty Bars. Kizzy always knew she would become an entrepreneur and earn an advanced degree in psychology. Kizzy's entrepreneurial spirit meshed well with her inquisitive nature as an adopted child who always wanted to and then met her birth family. Kizzy went on to earn a PhD and establish K-Parks Consulting over a decade ago, and recently has started Adult Fluent to help people make sense out of being an adult. Kizzy, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here today.
I'm so happy to have you. And let's just get started here. I've introduced you, and there's some interesting things going on in there. Why don't you tell us a bit more about yourself and what you're up to?
Yeah. You know, I, growing up as a kid, I loved Funyuns.
I don't even know what a Funyun is. So you're going to have to tell me more.
They are the most unhealthy snack out there. Imagine an artificial onion ring, and it's like crunchy and foamy looking, and it's like oniony, and it was yummy, and oh, it's so delicious. So I always love Funyuns. And then I love Nutty Bars, which were these peanut buttery, nutty, like Little Debbie kind of things. And I would always get these two items to eat from the corner store, but I didn't have any money. So I sold golf balls to get the money, and that mentality and that hustle is still with me today. I own 4 companies. I own 3 companies that focus on government contracting. And then I also own Adult Fluent. And then there's more brands I'm looking to start. And so that's that fire, that spirit, that same zest I had when I was a little girl cleaning golf balls is still there today.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. And so we mentioned that you were adopted. How was that as far as growing up? And maybe what did you have to face challenge-wise? And I guess, what has that contributed to for you now?
Yeah. So as a child, I always knew I was adopted, which is important because some people don't know if they're adopted or they find out later. And I knew from this paperwork I found. So my mom always had this like accordion she would keep paperwork in. So I knew I was biracial, and then my adopted family was an interracial couple. So both of my fathers are Black and both of my mothers are white. For those of you that are listening and may not be able to see exactly what I look like. So that kind of set the stage, and I just looked at, and just knowing what my family went through, just as an interracial couple, I had an idea of probably why I was given up for adoption, that probably my birth mom's family didn't approve of who the father was. And so I understood, and I was never resentful or upset or mad as a kid. I've always been curious. So I just wanted to know more. I wanted to know who she was. What does she look like? Do I have siblings? Do I have any health issues? So I always had curiosity of like, is that my mom, you know, when I'm out somewhere, or where does she live? And so I ended up finding her. It's been a long time now. I found her in 01. I found her in 01 before social media as it is today. I used Yahoo Groups. That was a thing then. And I was an undergrad. It was my last term in school. And I remember there was like this hot thing at the time, like this I'll see the therapist at our school. I don't know why, but that was like a thing we did, right? Because it was like free. We're seeing a therapist and we thought we were like really cool, like undergrads, like, I don't know. Sounds really kooky, but that's what we did. So my therapist was like, okay, so you're going to grad school. This is your last semester and you're drinking a lot. Maybe you need to entertain yourself and find your birth mom. And I was like, oh, okay. And then like a month later, I was like, oh, I found her. So her first name is Teresa. And I literally did. I found her in less than a month. And we have been connected since. I actually took her back to the motherland because my birth last name is Garzaloni. And so I took her to Italy a little over a year ago. And I have three brothers and I'm close with them. And what's amazing is the fact that she was a teacher for 30 years. And primarily everything I do involves teaching, every single thing. And I'm just like her. I'm very similar to my brothers. I met my birth father. And so it really has significantly impacted me. Especially because I know the story, like, and the entrepreneurial part. It was always encouraged growing up. My adopted dad always encouraged me. Adopted mom always encouraged me. And then I found out that my grandfather on my birth mom's side, Pascal Garzaloni, that he was entrepreneurial, that he and his brothers actually started a golf course in Muskegon, Michigan. And my grandfather designed the holes just based on, I guess, whatever came to him. And the golf course is still there today. It's near Muskegon, Michigan. I think it's called Tivoli, maybe the name of it. They had sold it way before I was reunited with them. And so, so my mom, she told me all these stories about my grandfather, that he tried to grow grapes to make wine. He had a popcorn cart. She was like, you're just like him. He was always looking for a way to like start a business and make some money for us. And so it was just like, so, you know, like mind blowing when you're like, wow, you know, my environment helps set this up. And then my genetics were like there the whole time.
Just, isn't that cool? How that works.
Like, super cool.
It's amazing. And it's amazing that you, you know, were able to, you know, build a relationship with that side of your family, which is really cool. I mean, I think, you know, there's mixed stories about, you know, the adoption scenario, right? And so it's cool that that has worked out well for you. You know, I think that that's a neat challenge that you've overcome. How has that influenced kind of the way you approach and see the world today?
That's a great question. I see the world through one of always helping. I think the most important thing that came out of being adopted, knowing I was adopted, was that there were two people who wanted a child who fit in with their marriage, right? And in essence, they helped me. They adopted me at 6 months. I think I was with a foster family. I have no idea. I have no clue who had me literally. I was like, I may have to look into this. I have no idea who had me for my first 6 months. I have no clue. And so, I think of just how selfless they were for doing that at that time. And so my life has always been framed around helping. My adopted dad would always help. He would give his last dollar. He was always helping, helping, helping. So I look at the world as, how can I help? Whether it's how can I help a friend or just help anonymously? How can I help somebody else? Everything that I do is around helping. I just want to help, 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 which is also why I pursued psychology, because I thought, oh, I'll be a clinician and I will help people. That's was everything I wanted to do, was helping. Education, you're helping, right? So that was a big part. The other big part was just my adopted family always, especially my dad, just basically was like, you can do it. He never set limits. And so now I dream really big. And that's so key, because so many people don't dream big. It's like, well, I just want to get through today. Maybe I want to be happy. I want to get to the, you know, get through pandemic and get life back to where it was. And then it's like, well, what about this dreaming and shooting for the stars, whatever that looks like for you. So that was the other big lesson that has shaped my life, because I dream big. I just, whatever it is, I just go for it.
Yeah. That's awesome. We have to talk a little bit about this adult fluent thing, because like you just said, you already own several other businesses and you've started Adult Fluent, and we were talking off air, it's time consuming, it's energy draining. There's a lot that's going into it. You know, you've got this podcast, you've got these courses, like this whole thing. Like, first of all, I guess explain what Adult Fluent is, and then maybe tell us what prompted you to start it.
Yeah, of course. So I've been in many roles, and two of those roles include kind of hiring, developing, because for my three businesses, there's over 50 team members, well over 50. And so there have been times where we've hired someone and there were questions that they should have asked and they didn't ask. Or there were things, hurdles that they would encounter. So it could be they got in a car accident and didn't know what to do. They needed to see a doctor. I had no idea what kind of doctor or who to see. They're still on their parents' cell phone bill until they get married, and they're not really sure what they want to do after that. They never negotiated pay. They just took what we gave them. I'm always like, why didn't you negotiate with us? Or, you know, and the list goes on and on and on. How do I find an apartment? What does that mean if I'm 1099? What does it mean if I'm an employee? How do I handle 401k? So that's one role. And then a second role I'm heavily involved in is mentoring. And I've been mentoring a young lady who is an engineer. Now she's out flourishing. I'm so proud of her. Ooh, so, so proud of her. And similar things would come up, like, in the very beginning, she would just oversleep for a test and didn't think to talk to the professor. And she accepted things that were happening. And she didn't know that you could approach the professor and ask for a second chance. And other things of that nature. She wasn't sure how to handle a situation at her job with her coworkers. You know, just, and I just was like, wow, this is intriguing that, you know, some of these are major, how do you handle politics and your boss, but you don't know how to find a doctor. You're not paying for your own cell phone bill. And I get that. Hey, I get that. A lot of people are on family plans. I totally understand that, but just this kind of shrugging, I don't know. I mean, yeah, you can go to YouTube, but there's not a one-stop shop of here's this like directory per se of assistance for adulting. Because no matter if you're 55 or you're 22 or 17 and a half, it doesn't mean you have all of your things together. It doesn't mean that you have a 401k or an investment portfolio and you're ready to retire at age 62 with $5 million in your bank account. Like, that's not realistic at all, I would say, for many people. So that's where it came from. It came from my experience as an employer and an entrepreneur, as well as my experience as a mentor. So I thought, you know, I want to create something to just help people really figure out this thing adulting, because I think people look and see others, whether it's their peers or people who are older or people who are younger, and they think, oh man, they got it all together. I don't have it together. They have it all together. How do they have it all together? Oh, I'm so behind. And that's not the case. And that's been the common theme throughout the podcast. And just in general, it's like, it's nobody has it all together. You never have it all together. And so as far as what we're going to offer, I'm still working on it. There's some stuff on the website, but that'll soon change. But again, the premise is to help figure out, how do you repair your dishwasher? How do you make sure you don't get scammed if you have somebody do work in your house? Or how do you buy a house? What are the steps? You know, like, for instance, just one quick little item. I recently bought an investment property and I had to send money to escrow. So I was told I needed to use a wire transfer. And it's very detailed. Use this wire transfer. You need to call Betty. You need to ask for the code. And I was like, okay. So I'm in the process of doing this. And I email them like, hey, I'm going to send this money. My realtor is like blowing me up on text, like, don't send the money, Kizzy. Give me a call. I was like, what is happening? And he's like, Kizzy, there are these scams. Did you send the money? I was like, what? He was like, people will somehow find out you're buying and they'll direct you to wire your money, and it's to the wrong location.
Oh, no.
And he was like, did you call for the password? You call Betty? I said, yeah. He was like, oh goodness, because I thought you got scammed. Who would have known this? How in the hell do you find that out? I'm not in my 20s. I didn't know. I mean, but now I know, and I can help people so that they realize, hey, if I'm closing on a property, be careful, because that might happen. You know, it's just another example of these little things that are out there that can cause these ripple effects, as well as the positive. Like, how do you negotiate pay? I can speak to how you can do that as a business owner, so that you just don't accept what somebody gives you as an offer and you're like, okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're answering a lot of questions, I guess, that, you know, there's no guidance for. But, like, I mean, why is it that you think we have trouble actually making sense of being an adult? Why are there all these questions?
Because nobody teaches it. You know, what's so intriguing is that there's all these courses taught on what's needed to pass the test, whatever the test is, whether it's the state test or county test or country test, whatever that standardized test is. But the things that are needed to create wealth, to create independence, to give you skill sets so that you can go into many areas, they're not there. Like, money management, maybe it's taught in a private school. I have no idea. I went to public school. I have no idea. How do you learn money management? Unless you go online, or maybe you're on Robinhood or something. I don't know. Maybe. I mean, I know it's not a money management app, but maybe you somehow are learning through that. And then the other thing is, you know, real estate. There's no reason that people can't enter real estate and at an earlier age and have an investment property. But who teaches you about real estate? Nobody. Who's teaching you about valuable life skills such as, you know, emotional intelligence and how to handle politics and how to handle stress and how to be, you know, how to persevere? No one. And who's talking to you about, you know, investments and stocks? And no one. So it's like, it's just kind of like, oh, you just are an adult and no one teaches you those, which are fundamental, or even things around relationships or how to lead. Of course, no one's teaching you how to repair anything. I think there's a really cool, and please forgive me if I miss say the guy's name, but I believe on YouTube, there's a gentleman who started a channel, and it's something like Ask Dad or something Dad. And all of his videos are from that premise of him being a dad, showing you how to do something. And I think that's so needed too, because if you don't grow up like that, how are you going to know that? Like for me, I had an issue with the dishwasher, and I looked online because I'm resourceful. I was taught to do that. And then it said, you need to unplug the dishwasher. How do you unplug a dishwasher? You can't really.
It's usually hardwired in, I think, isn't it?
So you got to go to the circuit breaker, but I already knew that. But how many people know to go to the circuit breaker? I've been taught that. So it's just, it's all these things. And then it seems very minor, but in the grand scheme of things, they add up. They go from little bitty annoyances to like, oh man, the dishwasher, we're not going to use. And then it just rolls into another thing. And then another thing. And then another thing. And then another thing. And it's like, you're so busy living your life that you're like, I can't even handle these little things right now. I have more important things to deal with. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, the interesting thing is that we have, you know, a generation of people who are coming up in a world of influencers, and there's like, you know, there's an influencer over here teaching you how to do makeup. There's an influencer over here, you know, teaching you how to TikTok dance or something like that. Like, I don't know, I'm just pulling random things out of the air, but you know, that's kind of the world that we live in now. But like, you know, like we're talking about like these skills and this knowledge for being a mature person in the world today, you know, is not necessarily commonplace, you know. But what kind of a role do you think organizations have in helping their employees make sense of life?
You know, that one, so that entrepreneurial side of me says none. Because it's not their role. At the end of the day, the role of the organization is the mission of what it is and to make money. However, there are organizations that try to offer something, right? But usually it's self-serving. It's disingenuous. If they offer anything, you know, they may offer like affinity groups or something like that. Affinity group meaning some organizations to help people feel more included. They'll have groups targeting similar people, like a women's group or African American group, a Hispanic group, a Native American group, a young people group. Sometimes they'll have special young people leadership programs where they'll bring in maybe interns who transition to employees. They'll bring them in through a program, but that program is self-serving. It isn't geared toward, let me help you generate wealth so you don't work for us anymore. It's more about, here, let us like further enculturate you so you never leave our company. I, at this point in time, the onus is on each and every one of us. Because regardless of your age, regardless of anything, if you have access to the internet, you have access. Because it's there. And also you can find a mentor easily to help you through it. Because employers, I mean, I am very cynical with it just due to many things in my upbringing. And no, I mean, they don't care. Except for my company, of course.
We care.
We do. We give out. Yeah. Free Dave Ramsey. I'm all about Dave Ramsey, financial peace.
Love Dave Ramsey.
I have tons of training courses. Dave Ramsey changed my life. I paid off like over $600,000 in debt. Like, wow. I'm debt free. Like, I love Dave Ramsey. So, you know, I will say I, on the other hand, take a very different approach. Other companies, you know, usually don't care.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that there's a place for more of that kind of thing. Like, maybe companies don't need to be kind of handholding their employees and like walking them through how to deal with their dishwasher problems. But like, you know, facilitating, like what you said, you're resourceful because you were taught to be resourceful, you know, like that's a skill. being resourceful is a skill. Knowing where to look for the answers is a skill. And I mean, as much as it's at the age of Google, like, you know, it's a little deeper than just Googling a question, right? Like, it's actually knowing where to look, knowing what information to find. You know, the fact that you're providing access to Dave Ramsey material in your business is, I think, phenomenal. And I think there's a place for more of that, you know, and like whatever those things might be. I think there's room for that. but if we dwell a little bit on the idea of mentorship, like tell me more about mentorship and what you see as sort of the answer in this whole conversation around mentorship.
Mentorship is extremely powerful when it's done right. And when you take away all the noise, right? So here's what I mean by that. There are some situations, whether it's in school, it's in a company, maybe it's in some group you're part of, and they kind of force the mentorship, right? We're going to pair you two together and someone's going to mentor this mentee, right? We're going to pair you together. And that sounds great. And this whole notion of a mentor is there to help share knowledge, wisdom, kind of provide a softer landing to this mentee or to help the mentee avoid pitfalls and grenades and all kinds of crazy things happening. That's kind of the essence of, you know, the mentor-mentee kind of relationship. But then you have all this noise that factors in. If the dyad, if the pairs of different races or different genders, or, you know, what if there's rapport between the two, are they self-disclosing? Because research has shown that if you self-disclose with your mentor, then that rapport is going to build and you're going to have a much more fruitful relationship than two people who just see it as, okay, it's just a transaction. You're my mentor. Here I am. I'm cashing my check. Give me my money. Right. So mentoring is extremely powerful. So taking, you know, my mentee, you know, when I first met her, she was right around like 20, 21 ish is how old she was. And she didn't know. Hands down, she didn't know. She didn't know things of how to handle faculty. She really had, nobody had ever pulled her aside and worked with her. Nobody ever really encouraged her. Her GPA was pretty dismal. she was an aerospace engineer bachelor student at the time. And I was very concerned for her. She was very insecure. And she was just going through the motions and pretty miserable. And I just gave her advice and we worked together and we had a bond immediately. We had commons with running. I'm going to pick them up now after my surgery, but I used to run a lot of 5Ks. We have a similar kind of spiritual background and we disclosed. And so I think what also helped is she would start doing the things. Like I would suggest something to her and she would do it and then it would work. Right. And then she would kind of take her own path. Then I'd have to like bring her back. She would do it and it would work. And then she does what she needs to do. And then she'll reach out. And so it's now to the point where she works for a very, very, very well-known, massively huge company. And even when she first got her job offer, she made more than probably most people do in the United States. Starting out, and she's been with them since. And she also decided to take up real estate. So she's also a licensed realtor. And I believe she sold at least one property and she's still, you know, figuring things out. Like, does she want to stay there? But what's great is to see her continuing to flourish. And it's all because of that mentorship. You got to finish your bachelor's degree. You have to figure out how you're going to get a job. And so she was able to do all that and maximize it. So it's so powerful when done right. And it can just be so harmful when done wrong. But the thing that's really important is all of the work is not on the mentor, but a lot of the work's on the mentee. And that's the part, as somebody who loves to help, that I've gotten to the point in life, I just throw my hands up, because if a person doesn't want to help themselves, then nobody else can help them. And that's just so vital.
Yeah, very important. And I think, you know, like I love mentorship, and that's why I encourage you to talk more about it. But you know, what you say is crucial in terms of how that relationship actually functions. And you can have, like you said, the matched transactional style, or you can have something that's actually more fruitful. So thank you for sharing.
Anytime.
Last couple of questions for you, Kizzy. What is one thing you know about life or leadership that you wish everyone knew?
Everything is negotiable. Everything's negotiable. You know, people take things at face value. They take that no, or they take the, here's the price. They take, well, I didn't get this. Oh, they didn't offer that to me. They take it as just face value. And it's like every single thing is negotiable. Everything. Doesn't mean you're going to get what you want. Doesn't mean you're going to get what you want today. But I'm letting you know now, somebody did. And there's a reason somebody got that. You know, I remember there was, you know, I do a lot of work. Part of my job involves a lot of work with the federal government. And I remember just having colleagues that would have a lot of student debt. We're talking like 120,000 US, you know, maybe sometimes 200,000. That's just student loans. That's not anything else. Not credit card, not car, not house, not wedding, not, that's just student loans. And they would say things to me like, oh, well, I don't know if I really want to work for the federal government. They don't really repay my student loans. Like, I need to find a company who's going to repay my student loans. Because, you know, everybody's raising their hand to repay your student loans, apparently. But sarcasm aside, I have this colleague who works for the federal government, and they repaid his student loans. All of them.
Wow.
And it's like, why did they do that for him? Is he a unicorn? No. But it's because everything is negotiable. I don't know how he got it paid. I don't need to know how. All I know is he did, because he told all of us when it happened, because, you know, as you can imagine, it was a really happy day for him.
Yeah, no kidding. So,
yeah. So it just shows that you just can't take things at face value, regardless, you know, whether it's leadership or wherever you are in your life, just don't take things from face value. It's negotiable. Mm-hmm.
Everything is negotiable.
Everything. Cool.
So when it's all said and done, Kizzy, what three words do you want to be used to describe your life?
I helped others. She always helped. I helped others. She always helped. It's all about helping. Every single thing that I do, every single thing involves helping others. There isn't anything in my life where it's like, oh, I'm just doing it to make a buck, or I'm doing it to, I don't really think like that. I think of people and helping because it goes back to my existence. You know, I had a birth mom who was sent to an unwed mother's home to give birth to me. Nobody in her family knew about me until like recently. And then you have this amazing couple that comes in and adopts me. And then I'm in this environment where I'm encouraged to dream and be amazing and do great things. And all I ever wanted to do was just help and give back, because that's what happened to me. And so it hasn't changed. That same kind of cycle is still going on, where I love to mentor and I love to give and I love just to do so much for my team and for people that I meet and strangers. And I do a lot of random kindness, or I'll give away money on Twitter or wherever. And it's all because I like to help, because so many people helped me, you know. And I think about what my mother, what Teresa had to go through to bring me into this world. And it's like, you know, and she's my mom. She's, you know, I talked to her earlier today. She's my mom. I'm so grateful for it. But everything is around helping people, because I think of all that it took to get me to this point, not just my adopted and birth family, but all the mentors and the professors and people and prayers and strangers. It's not because I'm so amazing and have great hair. It's because of all of the community and their prayers. And so
you do have great hair, by the way.
Thank you. I do, y'all. I really do. My hair is on fire. It's cute. But all I want to do is help people. That's it. I hope I helped y'all that are listening, hopefully, but I just want to help people. That's it.
And, you know, like, important for anyone listening to kind of recognize, like, this is a leadership conversation. It's a little bit of a different leadership conversation, but we're talking about the importance of helping people where they're at. And that's been, you know, a brilliant conversation with Dr. Kizzy Dominguez today, talking about adult fluent and helping people make sense of being a grown up.
Yes.
And, you know, this has been fun, man. A lot of good conversation, really great information. Hey, where can people connect to what you're doing?
So you can connect to me. I'm on Instagram and I am on, TikTok as Kizzy M Parks, as I'm waiting for my name to officially change back. So they can find me there at Kizzy M Parks. I'm also on LinkedIn. It's like Kizzy Lightbulb Dominguez. You can't miss me. You can find me there. And you are more than welcome to join my community, where I provide really cool content and awesome materials. And you can text me at 305-853-9481. And so would love for you to text and say that you heard me on the podcast. That would be great. And just please, you know, DM me, send me a text, reach out. I would love to not only connect with you, but how can I be of help to you? What is there something that I can really help you with? I would love to do that.
Awesome. Thank you, everyone, for listening today. I will make sure to get all those links in the show notes over at RashadOberlander.com. Check it out there. Have an amazing week. In the meantime, stay awesome.
If you've enjoyed what you've heard today, would you head over to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts and subscribe, leave me a rating, leave me a review, and share this with a friend. It spreads the word and helps the podcast grow. You can also find me on social media at R.E. Oberlander. Until next time, stay awesome.